Hello and welcome to The Property Exchange, your guide to the latest news, views and opinions in residential property, with Winkworth, with you every step of the way in the property market. Your host is writer and commentator Anne Ashworth.
Welcome to this latest episode of the Property Exchange podcast. This time, the impact on the property market of the Elizabeth Line, with a particular emphasis on Reading, right at its western end. In this episode, we're turning the spotlight on the Elizabeth Line, the east-west link that used to be known as Crossrail and now stands as a glorious monument to our late great monarch. The line stretches from Heathrow and Reading in the west to Abbey Wood and Shenfield in the east. During the years when we were waiting for this much-delayed line to arrive, we were told it would hugely increase the demand for homes along the route. These predictions have, largely speaking, been fulfilled. Also, the new line is a delight. Journey times are rapid and the trains and stations comfortable and elegant. Since the line opened in May, users have been full of praise for its service. They love the shorter commute times and the spacious stations with their artwork, wide platforms and clear signage. As we speak, the line is operating in sections, but the next phase will see direct services from Reading, with no more need for passengers from this Berkshire town to change at Paddington. We know that better transport links are crucial to property values, but how is the Elizabeth Line putting areas such as Reading even more on the map? To try and answer these questions, I'm joined as usual by Dominic Agace, CEO of Winkworth, and also by James Hathaway, who heads up Winkworth Reading. Dominic and James, thanks for joining us. First to you, Dominic. Has the Elizabeth Line been good news for house prices along the route? It was a long time coming, a very long time, we know, but is the line fulfilling its promise?
Well, you were right. It was a long period of time that's covered its sort of initial concept to actually launching in all its majesty recently. So it's been had various impacts. I think there was the initial buzz of it, 2008, when it was sort of going to go ahead, and I remember people rushing to buy, particular buy-to-let investors at that time, rushing to buy around these stations. I had many friends buying in sort of the Acton area, particularly eagerly awaiting the launch of the line. But you know, then it obviously went a bit quiet and a bit delayed. So many years later, and after sort of initiating 2012 and 2022, we've got here. I think during that time, there have been many other things in the property market that led it to sort of rise and fall and flatline at various different points. But I think, you know, what we saw was there was the initial impact, a bit of a rush to benefit from these stations. And now we'll see a sort of secondary move, if we like, as the benefits of a fresh, crisp station and a sort of glorious train to whisk away to work come to the fore. I mean, when you look at the actual sort of prices, though, in terms of percentages of the line and what it's done, you can see it differentiating to other areas. So I think when you look at postcodes that the relevant stations are in, they've outperformed. They have a sort of 14% premium to their neighbouring postcodes. And the impact has been varied, though. So, you know, the lower, more accessible property markets, the sort of slightly lower price point property markets have benefited to far greater degree, perhaps due to their greater affordability and the sort of bigger potential uplift. So, you know, when you're looking at some of the stars, the sort of Forest Gate, you know, Abbey Wood, Manor Park, and you're looking at sort of increases over that 10-year, sort of 2012, 2022 period of, you know, sort of 100%. So that's been massive. Some of the sort of more established areas, you know, they were looking at sort of Ealings, the sort of leafy suburb there, you know, which is already fairly well established as a marketplace. You know, it's sort of more like sort of 50%. So you've seen a sort of dramatic increase in areas that, you know, I suppose desperately sought this infrastructure because they didn't have the Central Line or the Piccadilly Line or the other transport links that perhaps more established boroughs had. And that's been driven over the 10-12 year period. What I do think though, going forward is that there'll be the second impact will come in where some of these boroughs that, you know, taking Ealing as an example, it's a sort of fantastic family house market in London that has, you know, you have your 40-foot garden and you have your 2,500 square foot house, and that costs you 1.4 million. That's around £600 a foot. Now, that can now get you from there, even with a slightly disjointed connection around Paddington where you have to sort of walk across the platform. That gets you to Liverpool Street in 40 minutes. So that could be 30 minutes once they connect once you connect through Paddington. So then you look at it and you think, well, that's interesting, isn't it? Because if you look at other prime suburbs in London, and James will talk about Reading and the impact it's had there, but you look at other prime suburbs in Reading and you look at the price per square foot of them and you think, you know, which is actually, if you've got the sort of the gardens you've got in Ealing, for example, you know, why is there a discount on it compared to, you know, I don't want to malign other boroughs in London, but, you know, there are other boroughs, of prime boroughs in sort of zone two are, you know, around 850 a foot. So they would take a lot longer to get to Liverpool Street, should I say, perhaps in the southwest than you would from Ealing. So there's a bit of a discount, you could say, that you could certainly see kind of catching up over the years to come as people realise that, you know, it is has made the whole area so accessible to all the sort of key parts of London.
Now, we're sitting around this table in this rather smart studio at a very uncertain time for the economy. Do we see the Elizabeth Line effect persisting despite the lack of availability of finance and all the other issues that are facing the market at present?
I think it's you know, infrastructure projects are long-term projects that drive long-term changes in habits and living, and that has an impact on long-term property prices. So I think when you look at the uncertainty at the moment, you know, certainly short-term, you know, events or medium-term events, as we've seen throughout the sort of 10 years of its from inception to create to actually sort of implementation or launch, you know, other things do come along that affect, that will override the kind of longer-term nature of an infrastructure project. But that doesn't detract from its direction of travel. So I think the direction of travel of having greater transport is one of and property prices improving as a result is sort of been a truism of the property market for sort of 100 years or so.
Do you suspect that in an uncertain climate, buying a property close to great transport is going to become even more important, really top at the priorities of buyers?
Yes, I mean, it is, you know, as you say, in sort of times of uncertainty, people, you know, want to be closer to work. It's more important. There's more keenness and more focus on delivering the hours and increasing one's productivity to make sure one's an important part of the company where one works, and living by a tube and being able to hop on that and come back later after the later meetings and be able to balance that by getting sort of quickly home to the family is important. So it has always been important. I think when things are a bit uncertain, certainly, you know, there is always a retrenchment to the norm. I mean, I suppose it's a bit like the hybrid working world, isn't it? You know, everyone went quite a long way away from work, and people are coming back closer to work as sort of times progressed and needs must to kind of get on with the careers.
I also suspect that people will be keen to get into the office to keep warm there rather than paying high fuel bills at home.
Yeah, God. Yeah. Oh, dear.
All right. Now, over to you, James. You head up the Reading office of Winkworth. What I'm going to ask you first is to be our tour guide. Tell us what we should know about Reading, and what are the clichés, and are they true, or is it a really, really much more exotic place than we imagine?
It's a fantastic place to live. I've lived there all my life. I've been an agent for 25 years, so I know the area really well. I think one of the major things that's attracted people to Reading is the links it already had before Crossrail came. It was a fantastic town that's right sat on the motorway, Heathrow just up the road. A huge amount of commuters used to come to Reading anyway. And I think now with Crossrail here, I really do think it will put sort of Reading on the map. In fact, coming here today, seeing Reading on that tube line map and me being able to leave Reading and get to Tottenham Court Road, I think it was about, well, just over 30 minutes, is is great. I mean, it's seamless, and you almost have to pinch yourself to think, are the stations and train something that we're used to in England? Because it feels like you're in a foreign country.
Yeah. Anybody listening to this, if you come to London, do ride the Elizabeth line, because it is truly an amazing experience. And you do feel as if you're on another planet, really, don't you?
Indeed. I've never been a fan of the tube, but it's completely different. You sort of, the stations are beautiful and sort of air conditioned and just so much space. It doesn't actually feel like you're in London, if I'm honest.
Now, Reading, there's a huge amount of employers in the area. How many people, though, that live there commute into London?
A huge amount. I think probably before COVID, certainly coming up to London in rush hour was an awful experience. I mean, the trains would come into Reading. You wouldn't get a seat. The trains were obviously the last stop of that fast train coming in. So you'd stand all the way into London. And yeah, I think now with Crossrail, that train's going to come into Reading with no one on it. You're almost guaranteed a seat. I think there's 24 trains an hour when it's fully operational. So yeah, it's going to be, I think, a game changer. And Reading, not just for people coming to London, but there's a lot of people that we see come into our office, and maybe the husband works in London, the wife works in Oxford, and it's always been a great place for commuters. Like I said, the rail links before Crossrail were already fantastic. So yeah, I think things can only really get better.
Now, who's coming into your office who wants to move to Reading? Is there a typical buyer?
I would say, I think as Dominic touched on, I mean, it's been going on for quite some time now, but kind of it's always stuck in my mind is the sort of young professionals is probably what we've seen more of than anything. And yeah, I mean, that's continued year on year. It got dragged out a little bit, sort of at times things slowed down. But even now we're seeing young couples. Last year, how I remember, there was a young couple from Chiswick and they were considering buying a two-bedroom flat. And I think from memory, it's probably about 800 square foot, about 600,000. And his work obviously told him that he didn't need to be in London so much. And they ended up buying a four-bedroom penthouse apartment, just shy of 1,400 square foot, probably one of the biggest apartments we had in Reading at the time, for the same money. And we've seen a lot of that. The sort of young people, they realise they can get a lot more for the money in Reading. And we're still, I think, really cheap considering how close we are to London now and how quick the new train is.
So could you give us an idea of what the entry level cost is of a property in Reading?
Yeah, so probably, I mean, studios start from probably around 125,000. One bedrooms kind of start from probably 140, 150. And a typical Victorian terraced house is probably around 300,000. Four bed detached houses, sort of a family house that you could still walk to the station, is probably around 600,000. So it's pretty cheap, really, I think, considering sort of other commutable towns and stations that are that close to London as Reading is.
And do you get some sense that the places around Reading are also feeling the Elizabeth Line effect?
Yeah, I do. I mean, the office that I run covers quite a wide area, and you've got smaller suburbs to Reading, like, i.e. Twyford. I mean, there was a huge amount of a buzz around there, and the property prices are pretty high there. I think always helps. There's a Waitrose there as well, and that seems to be an attraction for buyers sometimes. But yeah, I think not only Reading, but sort of anything along that Crossrail line now, it's probably seeing what we're seeing in Reading, and there's a big demand from people moving out of London.
Let's talk about rents. Are they going up as well?
The rents, I've never quite worked in a market like it. The rents are certainly from sort of a year ago, as a minimum, we're seeing a 10% increase on rents. In some cases, 20, 25% increases. So the demand for a property now, you'll put something on and really within an hour, we'll have 10 people wanting to view the property. So it's the demand, like I said, it's huge. I think that's stemmed from a few landlords getting out of the market. So there's obviously not so much supply there. But yeah, there's a lot of people. I think the companies that are based in Reading, we're somewhat blessed. I think I've always said we're in a sort of protective bubble there in the Thames Valley. I think in Europe, we're known as Europe's Silicon Valley. We've got big companies, big telecom companies, tech companies along that stretch. And that's brought in a huge amount of contractors wanting to live on that stretch, really.
So would you say there are some opportunities for landlords?
Again, as we touched on earlier on, it's a tricky time at the moment to sort of know exactly what's going to happen. But certainly with the rents that people are achieving at the moment, I think it's the one thing that's kept a lot of landlords in the market. I think if rents would have probably stayed at the levels they were with the changes in tax for landlords, I think many more landlords would have left the market if it wasn't for the case at the moment where we're achieving the higher rents.
So what's the mood in Reading? Do people think prices are headed upwards?
I think people are sort of probably sat waiting to see what happens over the coming weeks. I think the past year, sort of year on year, we've seen about a 10% rise in Reading. There's still a high demand. I'm still surprised with the calls that are coming into the office for sales. Typically, with everything going on, I expected things to actually slow down. And there's been a big drive, probably more so with homeowners than investors at the moment. But there's definitely the demand still seems to be there at the moment, which is great.
I want you to tell me one thing about Reading that people just don't know.
I think people are still very, very surprised when they come to Reading that we're not a city. When we tell them we're a town, we are the UK's largest town. And I think we've had four failed attempts of becoming a city. But I actually believe Crossrail will help us get that city status. I'm confident of that. We've been close many times. But yeah, I think that's going to be a game changer for Reading, the Elizabeth line.
So Queen Elizabeth's legacy to Reading, the line that bears her name, and the opportunity finally to become a city. Now, we know Winkworth, Dominic, has an office in Reading. Given the opportunities being opened up by this line, is there anywhere else along the route that you're thinking of opening up?
Very much so. So I think train lines, as I said earlier, have always been the way people move. So people move from along the train line for bigger space, better value for money, and it's always been thus, really. So as an estate agency, obviously, we want to kind of follow our client's journey and be able to kind of help them by sort of introducing them to new areas where they can still work with us. And so when you look at the Elizabeth line, really what that's done is it's brought in, I mean, I think the number is it's brought an extra 1.5 million people into the sort of 45-minute range of central London business districts. So areas that suddenly will be far more appealing to those moving out who can get that value for money. So you just have to look further down the line from where we are currently. So, you know, we're in Ealing at the moment, and then you look at sort of West Ealing, and then you go into Hanwell, and you see that, you know, Ealing is around £700,000 for an average property, I think, and then you're looking at Hanwell being around £500,000. So, you know, and that's one's, you know, two stops on the line. So that's not very far to get more bang for your buck as a young family. So you look at expansion along there, and then you look at areas like Woolwich. And the other thing about this, obviously, is not only the transport, which is really the critical bit, but the house builders have been there first. So, you know, they've seen the opportunities, and they've invested huge amounts on building new properties that would appeal to people they feel would be moving with the Elizabeth line. So that is also part of the story. You know, there are fantastic selection of new properties being built for people along these lines. And again, for us as a business, that's part of what we look for, is to be able to work in areas which our existing clients want to move to with a good selection of properties.
What's the best thing about the Elizabeth line, so far as you're concerned?
As far as I'm concerned. So I've lived in London all my life, and I love a good tube line. But I think they've all evolved. I think it's just, it modernises London, doesn't it? the environment of living in London when you have to get on ramshackle transport is pretty not necessarily the most pleasant thing. And I remember in the old days, the District Line was quite a shaky line that you had to queue a lot for, and you were slightly rammed in there and it was very hot. And nowadays it's walk-through carriages, sort of cooled and a pretty pleasant, you know, journey to work, and life is a bit happier as a result. Now, the Elizabeth Line takes that to a whole new level. So I think the quality of travelling in a larger space is not to be sniffed at in London. And certainly aircon in the heat waves of August is a very pleasant thing to have on a tube. So I think it just, you know, the ambience you get adds a huge amount of value to the London experience of kind of living in and working in London. So I won't pick one, but I guess the, all of those things.
It's the whole vibe of the Elizabeth Line. As I said, if you've not ridden it, please do try it, because we're all fans here. Dominic and James, thanks so much for joining us for this episode of The Property Exchange. It's been good to chat and share ideas. Do subscribe and join us for next month's podcast, where we'll be talking about another key issue in the property market. If you want to be in the know, then be sure to subscribe.
This has been the Property Exchange podcast. For more information, go to winkworth.co.uk or find us on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. The producer was Tom Maddox. For more episodes, make sure to subscribe to your favourite podcast provider.